said. And how did all those bad boys work out for you?
At least I put myself out there. What about you, Sally?
I had a few girlfriends.
Not one date this year.
I've been busy.
Whatever,
Sam said.
Well, all the girls think I'm secretly in love with you.
Yeah, well, girls can be such...
Don't say the B word, Sammy. Just don't say it.
Consider it said.
Dating sucks, Pita said.
Sam, remember that guy Pablo you were hanging out with last year?
Yeah, nice tats.
Yeah, well, he's gay.
He's gay?
For reals? You sure?
Yep. We got drunk one night. Man, that guy can kiss.
Wow, I said.
Wow, Sam said. So what happened?
She always wanted to know the sordid details. Sometimes I wanted to tell her to just use her imagination.
Not much, Fito said.
I mean, he goes like, let's have a couple of beers.
I could tell he'd already had a few.
He parked the car downtown, and we go walking around after we'd drunk our beers. And I thought the guy was gonna rip my clothes off and shit. We were like in some alley, and then he got this text, and he said he had to take off. He gave me his number, and so the next day I call him on his cell, and he's like pretending nothing happened.
I was drunk and shit.
That's what he says.
Yeah, right, I say. And he goes, whatever. And then I just say, laters, dude. So that's what went down.
Sam said, he's a selfish asshole anyway. Thank God this high school crap is almost over.
When you're older, Fito, do you ever want to get married?
I don't know. I got a lot of things to think about. I just want to get myself into college and shit. Make something of myself. Screwing around with some guy? Don't know about that.
I get that, Sam said. But you know, after you graduate and have a job and all that, would you like to get married?
He looked over at me.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe. I'm kind of used to the alone thing. But why not?
I think I'd like to marry someone like your Mr. V. Or someone like Marcos. You know, someone decent. Someone who resembles a human being.
I think a lot of gay guys are like, I'd be a girl. Or they're the opposite and they're like, I'd be an animal and shit like that. Why can't they be like, I'm just a guy?
I don't know why, but that made me and Sam laugh. And Fito kept saying, it's not that funny. And Sam said,
maybe we're laughing because the truth is funny.
Yeah, hilarious. Yep, yep.
Then Fito turned to me and asked,
what about you, Sal?
Sam answered for me.
He wants to have 4 kids.
That's cool. Not me. I don't want little Fitos crawling around in the world.
Bad idea. And anyway, I'm gay.
Maybe that's a good thing. I got a nasty gene pool.
Beating up on yourself? That your hobby?
Sam could lecture you by just asking a question.
My hobby is trying to get by. I went to a counselor once. He told me I live my life in survival mode. I smiled at him. But I was thinking, no shit.
Well, you know, maybe someday you'll want to adopt a kid who's in survival mode.
Don't think so. It would be like living my shitty childhood all over again. But you, Sal, I kind of see you doing something like that. I'm not like you or your dad. Your dad, when he came over to talk to me at Sam's place, I'm like, who is this dude? I'm like, there are fathers like this in the universe? Really? Your dad, he's like this fucking saint. I bet guys are tripping all over themselves to get at your dad.
That made me laugh.
I don't think my dad's into that scene.
Well, that Marcos guy? I like that cat. Looks like they have something going there. And out of nowhere, I started to cry. I don't know. Maybe I was getting a fever. Hell, I don't know. I just started to cry. I heard Sam say, "Aw, Sally, you're crying." I felt sick and hollow, as if there was nothing inside me, and I heard myself saying, "My Mima. My Mima's gonna die." And then I felt Sam's arms around me, and she was whispering, "Shh, I gotcha. I gotcha, Sally." Church. It was a gift for Mima. Everybody went to Thanksgiving Mass, and everybody got dressed up. We all knew Mima didn't go for the dressed-down thing at Mass. The I'm dressed like I'm going to a football game look? Dad and I and Fito wore ties. Mima loved that. She was so, so happy. We took pictures so we could put them on the computer for her to look at. I felt awful. I had cotton head. I kept blowing my nose and everything around me sounded dull and fell in my ears with a kind of thud. My muscles ached. Everything ached. But I kept smiling. Fito was a little freaked out. "I don't really do the church thing," he said. Sam said, "It won't kill you." "See, you guys really are like these angels." That's what he said. Sam, she just looked at him and said, "Knock it off with that angel stuff. I'm not an angel. I don't even want to be one. That's not what I'm going for." I didn't make it through Mass. Right around communion time, I was projectile vomiting in the men's room. Not fair. Not fair? Really? Who gets the flu at Thanksgiving? God, I was sick. I missed everything. And the worst part was that I cried like a 10-year-old boy. But the best part was that Mima sat next to me on my bed. "Aren't you afraid I'll get you sick?" Mima smiled. "I'm already sick." Then I started crying, and I felt really far away from myself. I had a fever, and I kept telling Mima I was sorry I got sick. She took my hand and held it, and she put a cold washcloth on my forehead. "For the fever," she said. "Why are you taking care of me, Mima? You're sick." "Because I want to," she whispered. "I like holding your hand," I whispered back. It's weird, the honest things you say when you're sick. "I want you to stay with me forever." "I'll always be with you," she whispered. "I don't want you to be sick." "Don't worry," she whispered. "I won't be sad. I don't want you to be sad either." "Okay," I said. "I won't be." I didn't mean it, but I thought it would make her happy. I fell asleep with Mima holding my hand. I had bad dreams, but at least I slept. I slept and slept and slept. I remember Sam and Fito standing over me, and I remember saying, "I'm not a puppy." I got up from bed on Saturday. It was around noon, and I was really hungry. I mean, I was like Fito hungry. The tamales were all made. I missed the tamale-making thing. And the everybody telling stories thing. I missed all the cussing and all the laughing. I was sad. I wasn't allowed to eat tamales. Turkey soup. Yep. I sat in the kitchen and felt sorry for myself eating turkey soup.
I took a shower and changed and felt a little better. You know, I kind of felt like a t-shirt that had been spinning in the dryer for way too long. I was sitting in front of the Christmas tree with Sam and Fito.
Crap, I said. I missed everything.
I always helped Mima put the lights on her tree the day after Thanksgiving. Always. Since I was like 4. It's not fair.
Sam looked at me.
Enough with the drama. That's my job. You're supposed to be all chilled.
Not fair does not qualify as drama.
Fito kind of stared me down.
You don't know shit about not fair.
I wasn't about to argue with him on the fairness thing. How are this year's tamales?
Man, Fito said. Your peeps are all about tamales. That's what I'm talking about. They know how to do it right.
Sam laughed. Like you'd know.
Well, I know how to eat them.
Right. Sam was shaking her head. He ate, like, about 12. And Mima couldn't stop laughing. She asked Fito, don't they feed you? And Fito started blushing.
See, I said, I missed it all.
Watching Fito wolf down 12 tamales, I'd say you didn't miss all that much.
Fito got real quiet.
You got a nice family, Sal. Super nice, you know? Sweet. And Sam here, she got way into making those tamales. You should have seen her. She was like a real Mexican.
I am a real Mexican.
Fito shook his head.
Don't think so. All three of us put together don't make one real Mexican.
I guess he was right. Then Sam said, and all three of us put together don't make one real American.
Fito cracked up laughing.
Well, Gringo over here had a good chance at being a real American, only he wound up in the wrong family.
Yeah, I said.
Looks like I lucked out. You bet your ass. And they all had lots of good things to say about you, Vato. Like you walked on water and shit.
That made me smile. That really made me smile. Sitting there talking to Sam and Fito, well, I stopped feeling sorry for myself.
Walked on water.
Right.
More like learn to swim, baby. Learn to swim.
Mima, tired. On Sunday morning, I was really in the mood to eat tamales. Dad said it was a bad idea.
I'm hungry, I said. Enough with the turkey soup. No bueno.
He shook his head. No bueno, no bueno. Where do you get that? Have some leftover turkey and mashed potatoes.
No tamales for me. Crap. Sam sat across from me at Mima's kitchen table, 2 warm tamales on her plate. I just looked at her and said, Sam, sometimes you're not a very nice person.
I'm not the one who's sick.
Perverse.
You're perverse.
I like it when you exhibit your erudite vocabulary.
I'm going to walk to the other room.
You're pouting.
Yep.
Mima was too tired to go to Mass. Nobody had to tell me that was a bad sign. Mima. On Sunday afternoon, Mima was sitting at the table, looking around her kitchen. I sat down across from her.
It was a beautiful Thanksgiving, she said.
I nodded. I wanted to say something, but I didn't know what. And I just blurted out, I've been getting into a lot of fights lately. She nodded.
I understand, she said.
I don't.
Sometimes that happens to boys.
I don't mean to. I mean, I don't know. Something is mad inside me.
She nodded again.
You're a good boy. I'm not, Mima.
She smiled at me.
Listen to your Mima, she whispered. When you start to become a man, things start happening inside you. Maybe you think you need to be perfect. If you think of that word, don't listen to it.
She got up from the table and put her arms around me.
I'm sad. You won't always be sad, she said.
She kissed me on the forehead. Then she let me go.
Leftovers, lectures.
At least we're taking home a stash of tamales and leftovers, I said. I was sitting in the back seat with Fito. Sam was riding shotgun.
Hey, I didn't get any pie.
That made Sam, Dad, and Fito laugh. I have no idea why they found that funny.
Hilarious, yeah.
I'll make you a pumpkin pie this week, Dad said.
I'm not going to share.
You're a funny guy sometimes, you know that, Salvador?
Yep.
You guys want a real tree this year?
No, I like the fake one, I said.
I like real, Sam said.
Okay, I said. Then you get to water it every day, put ice cubes in the tree stand every evening, and sweep up the needles every morning.
Ah, she said. So the Grinch in you comes out.
I'm just saying, Sam.
And have you finished your essays?
Dad wasn't laying off on the college apps. He'd been leaving post-it notes on our doors for 2 weeks.
I'm turning it in on Tuesday. Then it's all done.
Sam was proud of herself. I have a sort of draft, I said.
No bueno, Dad said. Finish it off. December 1st.
That's only a few days away.
Yep. I hate that essay thing, I said. December 1st.
I like you a lot better when you don't lecture, Dad. I mean, not that you do a lot of that. But right now you're all schoolteacher about this. I could tell Dad had this snarky look on his face.
December 1st, he repeated.
Sam texted me. I'll help you. I texted back. My essay. I'll do it. Sam. Frowny face. I looked over at Fito. Maggie had her head on Fito's lap, and he was asleep. I texted Sam.
Take a picture. You have a better view.
She turned around, smiled, and took a couple of pics. She texted them to me.
Sweet.
Me.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Then Dad said, why do you two text when you're sitting a foot away from each other?
We're discussing my essay, I said.
Sure you are. Don't fib to your father.
By me. Dad said I should take a day to get my strength back. He didn't want any relapses. By now, Sam and Fito were on their way to school, and I felt a little left out. Before Sam left, I was lying in bed, and she texted me, WFTD equals lethargy. Me.
Yep.
Emotional lethargy. Sam.
Idiot. There isn't any other kind.
Me.
Leave me alone.
Sam.
Write your essay.
Maggie was lying right beside me. I kissed her and she started licking my face. Then she yawned and nudged herself against me. I fell back asleep. I woke up around noon, still groggy, walked into the kitchen and grabbed some orange juice. Dad was teaching all afternoon, and he'd left a note.
Salvi, be patient with yourself.
I thought, does that mean I should take a long, hot shower? That's what I did. Then I sat in front of my laptop at the kitchen table. Kitchens reminded me of my Mima. Okay, I'm going to write my essay. That's what I told myself. I was trying to focus, but my mind was wandering. I felt like a piece of paper in the wind being blown this way and that way, and wanting only to land on the ground. But the wind had other ideas. I thought of Mima. When we were leaving her house, even though she looked more frail and weak than she'd ever looked before, she came outside to see us off. She'd always done that. Aunt Evie had to help her. I hugged her, and she looked at me and smiled. "Just remember," she said. I wasn't sure what she wanted me to remember. Then she pointed at my father, who was putting something in the car.
"Him,"
she said. Then she nodded. Mima. No despair. She was dying, and there was not one sign of despair in her dancing eyes. There I was, the piece of paper being blown in the air, trying to hit the damned ground. I have to do this. Fito had said he was glad he didn't have to write an essay. All I have to do is make good grades here at UTEP and then transfer to UT. No essays for me. And anyway, what the hell would I say? My father was a good guy who had to leave because my mom is a drug addict who likes to yell, and my brothers took after her. I guess I could tell them that I spent about a year waiting for my old man to come back and get me. But then I said, yeah, like that's gonna happen. That about sums up my life. That Fito. Dad said he was a walking miracle. See, it was so much easier for me to be thinking about everything besides my essay. Sam had given me the opening lines to her essay, which she was putting the final touches on. My mother used to leave me messages written in lipstick. She'd write them on my bathroom mirror. And when I was a girl, I would study each letter of every word. I mean, she was already accepted. I looked at what I had so far. I don't really know that I want to go to Columbia University. I don't really believe that I'd measure up to your other applicants. That's the truth. No bueno. The problem was that I didn't have special gifts or anything like that. And apart from the fact that I seemed to be going through a phase that was confusing the hell out of me, which was at least interesting, I didn't think I had a particularly compelling reason why any expensive university should accept me. Yeah, my dad had gone to Columbia, but he is gifted. Maybe if he'd been my bio father, I'd be gifted too. But I wasn't. I was applying to Columbia because I was sentimental. Maybe my fists weren't, but I was. Columbia. Yeah. For Dad. I took a deep breath. If Mima was dying and she wasn't despairing, and if Sam could write her essay even though she was still reeling from her mother's death, what the fuck was my problem? Maybe I was ambivalent about college. Ambivalent. A Sam word. Yeah, I was ambivalent. Maybe I was going through a phase, and maybe phases were important. Maybe phases told us something important about ourselves. I texted Sam. WFTD equals ambivalent. I turned off my phone. I wrote the first sentence of my essay. I looked at it. And then I started writing some more. I wrote and wrote and wrote. When I glanced up at the clock, it was 2:30. My essay was finished. I read it aloud. I made a few changes. I wasn't so sure it would get me into college, but I thought Mima would like it.
So what if she wasn't on the admissions committee?
Friday. Well, we didn't quite get to the Christmas tree during the week. We got busy with school. At least I'd finished my essay, though I hadn't gotten around to telling anyone I was done. But there was still that other letter waiting to be read. Is that what my dad meant when he said, be patient with yourself? Sometimes you put things off. And you get addicted to putting things off. That's stupid, I know. And then the thing you put off seems overwhelming. Sam texted me. WFTD equals stasis. Me. Stasis. Sam. As in not moving. As in you have a letter from your mom. As in finish your essay. As in no movement. Me. Thanks for lecture. Sam. You are welcome. I was going to tell her that my essay was done, but she'd just want to read it. And I didn't want anyone to read it. Nope. After Fito quit his second job, he came over most nights, and we all sat and studied together. He said it was weird not to work all the time. He went to visit his mom. She was high as a kite, he said. She looked at me with her dead eyes and said, you got any money? So I just walked out the door. Why do you go back? I asked. She's my mother. Sam put in her 2 cents. She's toxic. You do know that, don't you? Yeah, Fito said. Doesn't change the fact that she's my mother.
I know, Sam whispered. I know, Fito.
We left the conversation at that. I mean, there was nothing any of us could do. Dad said there came a time when we had to be in charge of our own lives. I guess that time came a little early for Fito. Dad also said that sometimes things happen that are bigger than we are, because life is bigger than we are. Like Mima dying, like Sylvia getting killed in a car accident, like Fito's mom, like my mom who died when I was 3. Our kitchen table at night was like a study hall. We asked each other questions sometimes and helped each other out, and Fito said, I died and went to fucking heaven. That's a quote. Fito, he liked the F word. But he also liked to read. Sam said he had a heart as big as the sky. And it was true. Fito said he learned how to escape from the hell around him by reading all the time. He said he liked The Grapes of Wrath because it's about poor people. That's way cool. I thought Fito and Mima would have really liked each other. I was sad that they'd never had the chance to be friends. Fito came over, and since it was a Friday and we hadn't gotten around to putting up any Christmas stuff, we dragged the Christmas tree out from the garage and put it together. Dad and Marcos did the lights thing, and Sam kept going through all the boxes marked Christmas. You guys have a lot of Christmas stuff. We're all about Christmas, I said. She really liked the wreath we always hung on the front door.
I remember this.
It was nice, the whole thing, everyone decorating the tree. Dad had gotten around to making the pumpkin pie he promised, and it was in the oven. The house smelled like pie. But really, the best part was that Dad was steaming up the tamales. I was finally going to get a taste. I looked at Fito. I'm giving you a limit on the tamales. He laughed. I kinda have this thing with food. I'm always hungry.
What do you think that means?
Sam rolled her eyes.
It probably means you need sex. You're just compensating. You should start running with us. It's called sublimation.
My dad looked at her, trying to suppress his grin. What?
Yeah, it's a gay thing. Gay guys just have to have sex.
Dad looked at Sam and shook his head.
Where exactly did you come by this information?
I had to insert myself into the conversation. She just makes it all up.
I do not.
Yes, you do, Sam. You surf the internet and read about a topic and learn a few things, and the rest you just make up. And then you believe the things you make up.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. That's why you're going to be a great writer someday. She gave me a look and shifted her gaze to Fito.
Do you or do you not want to get laid?
Marco started laughing. He's 17 years old. We all know the answer to that one. I don't think it has anything to do with being gay.
You got that right, I said. And I knew I was blushing, and I sort of wanted to crawl under the couch.
And my dad, who is really a smart guy, said,
Why don't we talk about something else?
Sam rolled her eyes.
Yeah, she said. Let's talk about Santa Claus.
Marcos. Fito got a text around 10, and all of a sudden he said he was headed for home, which meant Sam's house. But I thought that maybe he was going to hook up with some guy. I don't know. Maybe I'd been chumming around with Sam for too long. Maybe I was projecting. That's another Sam word. Ever since her mother died, she'd been turning into a therapist. Sam and I ate two pieces of pumpkin pie each as we listened to this group called Wellstrung. They were kind of dorky musicians who played classical music and put it together with pop. Sam said they were way gay, and I said I didn't like that expression, and she countered with, Well, sometimes that's a compliment.
I'm not so sure about that.
And she said I didn't know crap about these things. Dad and Marcos were talking in the living room, and I could hear them laughing. I wondered what it would be like to love someone like my dad loved Marcos. Not that he talked about it, but I could see it. And really, I was a little jealous. I was. I mean, Marcos gave Dad something that I couldn't give him. And Dad was spending more time with him. And I missed having him all to myself. And I knew that it was really frickin' selfish. And the other thing was that I didn't really know Marcos all that well. And even though we got along, I wasn't making any moves toward getting real close to him. I was a little jealous, and I was a little suspicious. And I generally wasn't a suspicious kind of guy. I wasn't making progress when it came to Marcos. Nope. Stasis. Sam texted me. WFTD equals love. She was sitting across from me at the kitchen table. I gave her a sarcastic look. I didn't know a damn thing about love. I think all I'd ever had were crushes. Not that crushes didn't have their own emotional thing going on. I really liked the kissing thing. I sometimes daydreamed that I had a girlfriend. And I pictured her looking at me. I wondered what it would be like to feel a girl's hands on my body. I wondered what it would be like to run my fingers over a girl's lips. I kept chomping on my pumpkin pie, and Sam asked what I was thinking. Nothing important, I said.
I finished my essay. College apps all done. Yay, Sam.
And you should be thinking about your essay.
What if I told you I'd finished it?
You finished it?
And you didn't let me look at it.
I'll let you see it.
When?
When I'm ready.
Oh, just like when you're ready to read your mom's letter.
Don't go there.
Sally.
Sammy. I grinned at her. So, I guess we're off to college.
Let's not get all enthusiastic about it.
Ambivalent, I said.
She smiled.
Sometimes it was as if she could read minds.
Don't worry. When you get to college, you'll have girls all over you.
Sure.
And you won't have me around to get in the way.
You're not in the way.
Maybe a little. You're way too loyal. None of the girls you've ever gone out with, not that they number in the hundreds.
I shot her the snarkiest smile I could come up with.
None of them liked me.
Girls are weird that way, I said. They're all like, I'm the only person in the universe.
I don't like that.
That's because, unlike most boys, you're actually kind of mature. But only in that way. In other ways, well,
you're a work in progress.
Is that a compliment?
You bet your ass, white boy.
Nice, girl. See how you are? You give me a compliment, and then you take it away in one fell swoop.
Yep.
No need to give you a big head.
Then she turned toward the living room and gave me the eye. What do you think?
I shrugged. Marcos, he's nice, huh?
Yeah, he kinda is. He's quiet, but not too shy. And he's actually a good listener. I heard him talking to Fito, who was saying something about school, and it came out like the usual Fito. You know that negative self-talk he's addicted to? And Marcos listened and then said, you know, maybe it's not you. Maybe it's that teacher. There are a lot of great teachers out there, but there are also a lot of not-so-great teachers. It's just something you should think about.
I looked at Sam. So are you going to stop giving him a hard time?
I don't think so.
What?
We have this thing. I give him attitude and he gives me a smile. It's how we get along.
I get you and I don't get you.
Nah, you get me. You totally get me.
Then she got real serious. I knew that look.
You see me, Sally. I mean, you see me. My mom, well, you know, she loved me. I know that. But she didn't always see me. That's sad. That's really sad. She didn't see me because she didn't see herself, but you? You see me.
I remember when we were about 6, maybe 7. I fell on the pavement and you picked me up. And we walked here, to the house that has become my house. You washed my bleeding knee, which to me was totally traumatic. We both laughed. You washed it with a warm washcloth and put a band-aid on it, and then you kissed it. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that. You were so serious. I'll always remember that look on your face. You saw me. You've always seen me. And I think that's all that anyone wants.
That's why Fito loves coming over here. He's been invisible all his life. And all of a sudden, he's visible.
Seeing someone. Really seeing someone. That's love.
You know what else love is? I said. A friend who slaps you when you need to be slapped. She smiled at me and I smiled at her.
You want to know a secret?
I asked.
Yes.
I'm a little jealous of Marcos.
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
And I'm a little suspicious of him.
God, she smiled. Good to know not all my lessons have been lost on you.
Me. Dreams. In my dream, I am surrounded by a bunch of guys. And I say, one at a time. I'll take you on one at a time. So one at a time, I take them all down. I beat the holy crap out of the first guy. He's bleeding and I watch him lying on the ground. And I just say, next. So one by one, I beat the holy crap out of all of them.
and they're all lying there on the ground, and I just stand there and stare at them. And then a man shows up. I look like him, and I know he's my father. And we go for it. I throw the first punch, but it doesn't faze him. And then he starts punching me. He punches me and punches me until I'm on the ground. Then he starts kicking me and kicking me. But I don't feel a thing. And then I wake. If I was a bad boy in my dreams, what did that mean? And what did it mean when a father I didn't know showed up in my dream and beat the crap out of me? I'm not going to tell Sam about this dream, because she'll start analyzing me. I don't feel like being analyzed. I tried to think of something beautiful so I could fall asleep again. I thought about the day when it was raining yellow leaves. Of course I did. And then I went back to sleep. Sam.
Dad.
Me.
Dad.
Sam and I had just come in from our morning run. Dad was reading the paper. Sam and I had been discussing our plan. I decided to get some input from Dad. Why not? Dad, I said, Vito's birthday is Friday. He turns the big 18.
I'm listening.
So what are you doing on Friday?
Well, Marcos and I were thinking about going to a movie.
I almost wanted to ask him why didn't they think of inviting Sam and me to go along, but I knew the answer to that one.
Well, I heard Sam say, we were thinking of having something for Fito. You know, like cake and tacos.
Sounds like a winning combination. We can do that.
I'll even bake the cake, I said.
And I'll even make the tacos, Sam said.
My dad looked at both of us and said,
Wow.
But he knew us. He knew there was something else coming. I could tell by the way he put the newspaper down.
And?
He said.
And,
I said, Fito's phone died. Which really sucks. I mean, his phone sucked anyway.
Yeah, Sam said. It really sucked. It was one of those cheapos from Walmart.
My dad did a wince thing.
It's what he could afford, Sam.
I know, Mr. V. I can be such a brat.
But we were thinking we wanted to get him a smartphone for his birthday. You know, Lena has me on her family plan, and you have Sally on your plan, so we thought maybe we'd put Fito on one of our plans, and the phone would be, like, super cheap. Sally has some money, and you know... What do you think?
Well, if you can't save the world, at least you've decided you're going to save Fito.
Sam crossed her arms.
Don't say it like that.
And then she stopped. He's not like a project. He's our friend. We love Fito. Yeah, we do, I said. Dad smiled.
I get that. So you need a partner in crime.
Something like that, I said.
Why not? Tomorrow after school. We'll all go get Fito a phone.
Great, I said.
Okay then, my dad said.
Okay then, I said. Sam was smiling. We were happy. And then she got this look on her face, as if she had something else to say. And when Sam had something to say, she was going to say it. She looked right at my dad. Mr. V, I don't know what to call you now. Mr. V doesn't seem to fit anymore.
You can call me Vicente. That is my name, after all.
That seems sort of disrespectful.
This coming from the girl who used to refer to her mother as Sylvia?
Yeah, but I only called her that behind her back.
Dad grinned. What to call me? He said. How to solve this problem?
You have something in mind?
Actually, I do,
she said, sounding very serious.
Dad just waited for her to finish what she'd started to say.
Well, she said, looking really shy,
I'm going to be 18 in August, and then I'll be an adult.
Legally, anyway, my dad said.
Yeah, Sam said, legally. I was thinking maybe, well, you know, you're really the only dad I've ever known. You know, it's kind of been like that, hasn't it?
My dad grinned some more as he nodded.
Have I been a big pain in the ass?
Nope, he said. I don't know what we would have done without you. Sam had this, I think I'm going to cry look on her face.
You mean that?
I don't say things I don't mean, Sam.
I'm glad, she said. Because I have this idea in my head that you might want to adopt me. You know, make things official before I turn, you know, legal.
I saw my dad's face light up.
Are you sure?
He asked.
I'm sure, she said.
Dad thought for a moment.
We can go through a legal adoption if that's what you want. Let me just say that you've been my daughter for a long time now, Sam. Adoption or no adoption. And you don't need a piece of paper to call me Dad.
Tears were running down her face. And then she waved at him. Hi, Dad, she said. And Dad waved back.
Hi, Sam. Sister. I was in my room thinking about things. Life has a logic all its own. People talk about the highway of life, but I think that's crap. Highways are nice and paved, and they have signs telling you which way to go. Life isn't like that at all. There are days when great things happen, and everything is beautiful and perfect. And then, just like that, everything can go straight to hell. It's like getting drunk. At first, it feels kind of nice and all relaxed. And all of a sudden, the room is spinning and you're throwing up. And, well, maybe life is a little like that. I was thinking of making a list of all the great things that were happening and all the shitty things that were happening, the things that were making me crazy. But what good was that? Part of me was really happy. It was like Dad said, adoption or no adoption, Sam had always been my sister. And Dad had always been her dad. To know something you'd always known, to really know it. Wow. Yeah, Mima was still dying, and I still hadn't come up with the courage to open my mother's letter, and I still felt unsettled about a lot of things. I heard Uncle Tony's voice in my head. I think that kid's gonna be devastated. I texted Sam. What doing? Sam.
Reading. Thinking.
Me.
Thinking.
Sam. I want to change my last name.
Me.
Question mark?
Sam.
Want to change my last name to Avila.
Me.
Avila? Then I saw her standing in my doorway. I look at her.
Avila?
Yeah, Avila.
It was my mother's name before she got married. And I got to thinking that I really never knew my father.
It's not too late.
I think it is. Anyway, that's not the point.
What's the point?
See, Sally, she's dead now. And I want to take her name. That's what I want. I asked her once why she didn't take her name back after she divorced my father. She said, I married him,
I took his name. I'm good with that. I think my mom always defined herself in terms of the men around her. She kept the name Diaz because she told herself that at least she'd been married once. That's what I think. She gave me one of her I'm proud of myself looks. Yep, I'm going to officially change my name in honor of my mother. She walked up to me and kissed me on the top of my head as I sat at my desk. I was holding my mother's letter. God, you're smart, Sammy. And me? Stasis. She stared at the letter. You'll figure it out, Sally.
Will I?
I believe in you, Sally. She got real quiet. I still cry, you know. I still ask myself, what if? What if Sylvia hadn't died?
Maybe we shouldn't play that game anymore.
We can't help ourselves. Sylvia and I, we fought to the bitter end.
Maybe that's how you loved each other.
It is how we loved each other. That's really sad, Sally. And it can't be undone.
We can't live in regret, Sam.
Maybe we both live in regret. You've asked yourself 100 times, what if your mother had never died, haven't you?
I didn't say anything.
You hate to talk about this.
Yeah, I do.
I put the letter on my desk, ran my hand across it, and asked myself, what would happen if I met my bio father face to face? What if, Sam? What if? Mothers. The wind was cold, and it looked as if it might snow. I loved the snow. I loved the feel of the cold wind on my face. Dad didn't much care for cold weather. He said my romance with snow existed only because I didn't live in a place like Minnesota. I don't know exactly why I was standing in front of my house, looking at the lights. I could see the Christmas tree twinkling in the living room. When I was a boy, Mima would hold my hand and take me outside, and we'd look at the lights. Mima always had lights all around her house, and we always sang a Christmas carol. She really liked O Come All Ye Faithful, but she sang it in Latin because that's how she'd learned it. Dad said Latin was a dead language. I wondered about that. Why did some languages die? Sam had a theory that languages didn't actually die. She said we killed them. Do you know how many languages we've killed off in the history of the world? You kill a language off, and you kill off an entire people.
Sam. That's Sam.
I decided then and there that Sam and I would print out the words in Latin and sing it to Mima this Christmas. That's exactly what we'd do. I was almost finished with the photo book I was making. I was going to give it to her for Christmas. We could look at it together. That would be the best part. I took my cell phone out of my pocket and called her. My Aunt Evie answered the phone.
It's good to hear your voice, she said.
Yeah, I said. It's just a regular voice from a regular guy.
Regular, she laughed. Smartass.
You want to talk to your Mima?
Yeah.
When Mima got on the phone, she sounded tired, but she sounded happy. And she told me that Uncle Julian was coming for Christmas, even though he'd come for Thanksgiving. And she was really happy about that. I was happy, too. And happy that she was talking so much, because that was her normal self. Then she asked me what I was doing. I'm standing in front of my house and looking at the lights and thinking of you. That's what I'm doing. I wanted to say so many things to her. I wanted to ask her about my mother, because she'd known her, and ever since Sam's mom died,
I'd begun thinking more about my own mother. It wasn't just the letter. It was this whole thing about mothers that Sam and Fito and I had going on. And maybe that's what we had in common. This thing with mothers who were impossible to talk to. I wanted to talk to Mima about this, but I could hear the tired in her voice. She seemed almost as far away as my dead mother, and there was nothing I could do to bring her closer. Nothing at all. I texted Sam, "Come outside with me." Sam, "It's cold out there." Me, "Please?" So a few minutes later, Sam was standing right beside me, and we looked at the lights together. "What's so important?" she said. "I've been thinking." "Yeah, you've been doing a lot of that lately." "Were you mad at your mother?" "We just had this conversation, didn't we?" "No, that's not what I mean. Were you mad at her because she died?" Sam was quiet. Then she took my hand and held it. "Yes," she whispered. "I was fucking furious with her for dying." "Are you still?" "It's going away. But yeah, I'm still mad." "You know something? I think I don't remember loving my mother because I got mad at her. For dying. I got mad at her. I think so." "You were 3, Sally." "Yeah, I was 3. She squeezed my hand. It started to snow, big flakes that fell silently to the ground. I wondered if that's what death sounded like. Like a snowflake falling on the ground. Fito, 18. Marcos. Adult?
"You got me a present? Really? I mean, like a real present?" Fito said.
"What?"
I was just looking at Fito.
"It's your birthday, vato. That's like what people do."
"Not in my house," he said, wearing a shy, crooked smile. "The last time I got a present, I was like about 5.
He just kept staring at the box. "It's from all of us." Sam pushed it across the kitchen table.
"You can open it, you know."
Fito kept looking at his present.
"Nice wrapping."
"Thank you," I said. "That would be my handiwork. Sam doesn't wrap. She just buys those gift bags. Me, I like to unwrap stuff."
"How do you even know what I like? I mean, how did you... I mean..."
Fito was stumbling all over the place, tripping over his own words.
"You'll like it," Sam said. "I promise."
He just kept nodding and staring at the wrapped box. Sam did the cross her arms thing.
"If you don't open it, I'm gonna pop you one. I mean it."
So finally he reached for the box. He opened it really slowly. And then he stared at it. He didn't say anything. He just stared. He looked up at Sam and me.
"You got me an iPhone? An iPhone? Wow! Wow! Man, oh man!"
Then he got real quiet.
"Look, guys. Man, I can't take this. Man, this is just way too nice. I can't take this. I mean, I can't."
Sam gave him one of those looks.
"Yeah, you can. See, I can't because, you know, it's like..."
"Just take it," I said. "You need a phone." I looked up and noticed that my father had been watching us.
"Yeah, but I was gonna get one at Walmart for $60. You know, like the one that died."
Then Fito kept shaking his head.
"Look, I'm really sorry. I just can't take this. It's not right."